Welcome to our Local Voices special presentation called A Glance Back on 94.7 KPIP LP Fayette. A Glance Back is brought to you by the Boonslick Historical Society and its president, respected Fayette community member Jim Steele, journalist, graphic designer, and local historian. Local Voices, A Glance Back, a two-hour program, airs every Monday and Friday starting at noon and then again at 4 p.m. The show focuses on the music, radio features, and history of World War II and beyond as it affected Fayette, America, and the world. Thank you for tuning in to this special edition of Local Voices, only on 94.7 KPIP.
guy in town. The chicks all seem to dig his jive.
Hey, tell us, Bill, how can we arrive?
It's easy, Jack. Any gal gets sent when you flash a smile by Pepsodent.
You'll wonder where the yellow went when you brush your teeth with Pepsodent.
Pepsodent's new improved formula cleans teeth whiter than ever. Tastes brighter, too. New formula Pepsodent contains IMP. There's nothing else as good at getting teeth white.
You'll wonder where the yellow went when you brush your teeth with Pepsodent.
Pepsi Cola hits the spot. 12 full ounces, that's a lot. Twice as much for a nickel, too. Pepsi Cola is the drink for you.
Uncle Sam come down the road, tall and straight and slim. He had a shotgun in his hand, and his face was hard and grim. His heels was kicking up the dust with every step he took. And when I asked him what was wrong, his whiskers fairly shook. "I ain't got time to talk," says he. "I'm in a powerful stew. So get your gun and come along. We've got a job to do. The varmint's hanging around my house, a sneaky, dirty feller. And the stripes that's running down his back ain't white. In fact, they're yeller. So get your gun and come along. We're fixing to kill the skunk. We've done it before and we'll do it again."
The Greatest Generation lives here on 94.7 KPIP.
April in Paris, chestnuts in blossom, holiday tables under the trees. April in Paris, this is a feeling no one can ever reprise. I never knew the charm of spring, never met it face to face. I never knew my heart could sing, never missed a warm embrace till April in Paris. Whom can I run to? What have you done to charm of spring? Never met it face to face. I never knew my heart could sing, never missed a warm embrace till April in Paris. Whom can I run to? What did you mean to? What have you done to my
Now it's time to take a look back at the events that shaped this country and the world with This Week in History on KPIP's A Glance Back. In 1215, King John signed the Magna Carta. In 1381, the Peasants' Revolt, led by Wat Tyler, climaxes when rebels plunder and burn the Tower of London and kill the Archbishop of Canterbury. In 1607, colonists in North America complete James Fort in Jamestown. In 1642, Massachusetts passes the first compulsory education law in the colonies. In 1752, Benjamin Franklin and his son test the relationship between electricity and lightning by flying a kite during a thunderstorm. In 1775, the U.S. Army is founded when the Continental Congress authorizes the mustering of troops. Also in 1775, George Washington is named Commander-in-Chief by Congress. In 1777, the Continental Congress authorizes the, quote, Stars and Stripes flag for the new United States. In 1793, Eli Whitney applies for a cotton gin patent. In 1836, Arkansas is admitted into the Union as the 25th state. In 1837, 18-year-old Victoria is crowned Queen of England. In 1849, James K. Polk, the 11th President of the United States, dies. In 1856, the Republican Party opens its first national convention in Philadelphia. In 1858, Abraham Lincoln, in accepting the Republican nomination for the U.S. Senate in Illinois, declares that, quote, a house divided against itself cannot stand. In 1862, President Abraham Lincoln outlines his Emancipation Proclamation. News of the document reaches the South. In 1863, Abraham Lincoln again admits West Virginia into the Union as the 35th state. In 1885, the Statue of Liberty arrives in New York City from France. In 1893, the city of Philadelphia observes the first Flag Day, which this year is June 14th. In 1898, the U.S. House of Representatives approves the annexation of Hawaii. In 1910, the first Father's Day is celebrated in Spokane, Washington. This year, Father's Day is on the 20th of June. In 1916, President Woodrow Wilson signs a bill incorporating the Boy Scouts of America. In 1920, three African Americans are lynched in Duluth, Minnesota, by a white mob of over 5,000 people. In 1922, President Warren G. Harding becomes the first president to speak on the radio. In 1932, Gaston Means is sentenced to 15 years for fraud in the Lindbergh baby kidnapping. In 1935, President Franklin Delano Roosevelt's New Deal legislation is passed by the House of Representatives. In 1940, German forces occupy Paris. In 1941, the U.S. Army Air Force is established, replacing the Army Air Corps. In 1942, Prime Minister Winston Churchill arrives in Washington, D.C. to discuss the invasion of North Africa with President Franklin Roosevelt. In 1944, Boeing B-29 bombers conduct their first raid against mainland Japan. In 1949, the state of Vietnam is formed. In 1950, surgeon Richard Lawler performs the first kidney transplant operation in Chicago. In 1951, President Harry S. Truman signs the Universal Military Training and Service Act, which extends selective service until July 1, 1955, and lowers the draft age to just 18. In 1952, Anne Frank, Diary of a Young Girl, is published in the United States. In 1963, the U.S. Supreme Court bans the required reading of the Lord's Prayer and Bible in public schools. In 1967, boxing champion Muhammad Ali is convicted of refusing induction into the American Armed Services. In 1972, five men are arrested for burglarizing Democratic Party headquarters at the Watergate complex in Washington, D.C. In 1977, Leonid Brezhnev is named President of the Soviet Union. In 1987, the U.S. Supreme Court voids the Louisiana law requiring schools to teach creationism. In 1994, millions of Americans watch as former football player O.J. Simpson, facing murder charges, drives his Ford Bronco through Los Angeles, followed by police. And this Saturday, June 19th, 2021, is another year celebration of Juneteenth, which we'll talk more about in a bit. Remember to tune in next week for another look back at the events that shaped this country and the world with This Week in History on KPIP's A Glance Back.
Another public service announcement. Brill Cream. Men, beware. Use one dab of Brill Cream. Just a little dab makes your hair look excitingly clean, disturbingly healthy. This man dared to use two dabs. Now he's in trouble. We refuse to be responsible.
Brill Cream.
Brill Cream.
Brill Cream.
Brill Cream. A little dab will do ya.
Brill Cream. You look so debonair.
Brill Cream. The gals will all pursue ya.
They'll love to get their fingers in your hair.
Brill Cream, a little dab will do ya. Or watch out, the gals will offer to ya.
Get Brill Cream today.
When you're looking for a treat to freshen taste and keep breath sweet, get double smoothness, flavor too. Get the gum that's double good to chew.
Travel back in time with us with this special edition of Local Voices on 94.7 KPIP. You're listening to 94.7 KPIP's A Glance Back. I'm Rachel Steele, in for Jim Steele, and today we'll talk about Juneteenth as we get ready to celebrate it this Saturday. The freedom of African Americans from slavery in the U.S. in 1865 is celebrated on the holiday Juneteenth. It's June 19th of every year. Juneteenth is made up of the words June and 19th, and it is on that day that Major General Gordon Granger arrived in Texas more than 155 years ago to inform slaves that slavery had been abolished. While African Americans were technically free, it took decades of fighting, protesting, and more to bring about real changes and real equality. To celebrate Juneteenth on this program, we will now play a section of Martin Luther King's I Have a Dream speech from August 28, 1963.
At this time, I have the honor to present to you the moral leader of our nation. I have the pleasure to present to you Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr.
happy to join with you today in what will go down in history as the greatest demonstration for freedom in the history of our nation. Five score years ago, a great American in whose symbolic shadow we stand today signed the Emancipation Proclamation. This momentous decree came as a great beacon light of hope to millions of Negro slaves who had been seared in the flames of withering injustice. It came as a joyous daybreak to end the long night of their captivity. But 100 years later, the Negro still is not free. 100 years later, the life of the Negro is still sadly crippled by the manacles of segregation and the chains of discrimination. 100 years later, the Negro lives on a lonely island of poverty, in the midst of a vast ocean of material prosperity. 100 years later, the Negro is still languished in the corners of American society and finds himself in exile in his own land. And so we've come here today to dramatize a shameful condition. In a sense, we've come to our nation's capital to cash a check. When the architects of our republic wrote the magnificent words of the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence, they were signing a promissory note to which every American was to fall heir. This note was a promise that all men, yes, black men as well as white men, would be guaranteed the unalienable rights of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. It is obvious today that America has defaulted on this promissory note insofar as her citizens of color are concerned. Instead of honoring this sacred obligation, America has given the Negro people a bad check, a check which has come back marked insufficient funds. But we refuse to believe that the Bank of Justice is bankrupt. We refuse to believe that there are insufficient funds in the great vaults of opportunity of this nation. So we've come to cash this check, a check that will give us upon demand the riches of freedom and the security of justice. We have also come to this hallowed spot to remind America of the fierce urgency of now. This is no time to engage in the luxury of cooling off or to take the tranquilizing drug of gradualism. Now is the time to make real the promises of democracy. Now is the time to rise from the dark and desolate valley of segregation to the sunlit path of racial justice. Now is the time to lift our nation from the quicksands of racial injustice, to the solid rock of brotherhood, now is the time to make justice a reality for all of God's children. It would be fatal for the nation to overlook the urgency of the moment. This sweltering summit of the Negro's legitimate discontent will not pass until that is an invigorating autumn of freedom and equality. 1963 is not an end, but a beginning. Those who hope that the Negro needed to blow off steam and will now be content will have a rude awakening if the nation returns to business as usual. There will be neither rest nor tranquility in America until the Negro is granted his citizenship rights. The whirlwinds of revolt will continue to shake the foundations of our nation until the bright day of justice emerges. But that is something that I must say to my people who stand on the warm threshold which leads into the palace of justice. In the process of gaining our rightful place, we must not be guilty of wrongful deeds. Let us not seek to satisfy our thirst for freedom by drinking from the cup of bitterness and hatred. We must forever conduct our struggle on the high plane of dignity and discipline. We must not allow our creative protest to degenerate into physical violence. Again and again, we must rise to the majestic heights of meeting physical force with soul force. The marvelous new militancy which has engulfed the Negro community must not lead us to a distrust of all white people. For many of our white brothers, as evidenced by their presence here today, have come to realize that their destiny is tied up with our destiny. And they have come to realize that their freedom is inextricably bound to our freedom. We cannot walk alone. And as we walk, we must make the pledge that we shall always march ahead. We cannot turn back. There are those who are asking the devotees of civil rights, when will you be satisfied? We can never be satisfied as long as the Negro is the victim of the unspeakable horrors of police brutality. We can never be satisfied. As long as our bodies, heavy with the fatigue of travel, cannot gain lodging in the motels of the highways and the hotels of the cities. We cannot be satisfied as long as the Negro's basic mobility is from a smaller ghetto to a larger one. We can never be satisfied as long as our children are stripped of their selfhood and robbed of their dignity by signs stating for whites only. We cannot be satisfied as long as a Negro in Mississippi cannot vote and a Negro in New York believes he has nothing for which to vote. No, we are not satisfied, and we will not be satisfied until justice rolls down like waters and righteousness like a mighty stream. I am not unmindful that some of you have come here out of great trials and tribulations. Some of you have come fresh from narrow jail cells. Some of you have come from areas where your quest for freedom left you battered by the storms of persecution.
Yes.
And staggered by the winds of police brutality. You have been the veterans of creative suffering. Continue to work with the faith that unearned suffering is redemptive. Go back to Mississippi. Go back to Alabama. Go back to South Carolina. Go back to Georgia. Go back to Louisiana. Go back to the slums and ghettos of our northern cities. Knowing that somehow this situation can and will be changed.
Yes.
Let us not wallow in the valley of despair. I say to you today, my friend, so even though we face the difficulties of today and tomorrow, I still have a dream. It is a dream deeply rooted in the American dream. I have a dream that one day this nation will rise up and live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal. I have a dream that one day on the red hills of Georgia, the sons of former slaves and the sons of former slave owners will be able to sit down together at the table of brotherhood. I have a dream that one day even the state of Mississippi, a state sweltering with the heat of injustice, sweltering with the heat of oppression, will be transformed into an oasis of freedom and justice. I have a dream that my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. I have a dream today. I have a dream that one day, down in Alabama with its vicious racists, with its governor having his lips dripping with the words of interposition and nullification, one day right there in Alabama, little black boys and black girls will be able to join hands with little white boys and white girls as sisters and brothers. I have a dream today. I have a dream that one day every valley shall be exalted. And every hill and mountain shall be made low. The rough places will be made plain. And the crooked places will be made straight. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. And all flesh shall see it together. This is our hope. This is the faith that I go back to the South with. With this faith, we will be able to hew out of the mountain of despair a stone of hope. With this faith, we will be able to transform the jangling discords of our nation into a beautiful symphony of brotherhood. With this faith, we will be able to work together, to pray together, to struggle together, to go to jail together, to stand up for freedom together, knowing that we will be free one day. This will be the day when all of God's children be able to sing with new meaning, "My country, 'tis of thee." Sweet land of liberty, of thee I sing. Land where my fathers died, land of the pilgrim's pride. From every mountainside, let freedom ring. And if America is to be a great nation, this must become true. And so let freedom ring. From the prodigious hilltops of New Hampshire, let freedom ring. from the mighty mountains of New York. Let freedom ring from the heightening Alleghenies of Pennsylvania. Let freedom ring from the snow-capped Rockies of Colorado. Let freedom ring from the curvaceous slopes of California. But not only that, let freedom ring from Stone Mountain of Georgia. Let freedom ring from Lookout Mountain of Tennessee. Let freedom ring from every hill and molehill of Mississippi, from every mountainside. Let freedom ring, and when this happens, and when we allow freedom ring, when we let it ring from every village and every hamlet, from every state and every city, we will be able to speed up that day when all of God's children, black men and white men, Jews and Gentiles, Protestants and Catholics, will be able to join hands and sing in the words of the old Negro spiritual, "Free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, we are free at last."
That was Martin Luther King's I Have a Dream speech from August 28, 1963. This weekend, on June 19th, there will be a celebration held here in Fayette and across the country to celebrate just how far African Americans have come in the years following abolition. To find out more about this year's festival in Fayette, log on to cityoffayettemissouri.com/event/Juneteenth. I'm Rachel Steele, reporting in for Jim Steele on 94.7 KPIP. Step Back in Time with Jim Steele on 94.7 KPIP.
sitting down wondering what it's all about. You ain't got no money, they will put you out. Why don't you do right like some other men do? Get out of here and get me some money too. If you had prepared 20 years ago, you wouldn't be a wandering now from door to door. Why don't you do right like some other men do? Get out of here and get me some money too.
You've been listening to A Glance Back on Local Voices with Fayette's own Jim Steele, president of the Boonslick Historical Society. Catch another edition of A Glance Back with Jim Steele, a two-hour program which airs every Monday and Friday starting at noon and then again at 4 p.m. only on 94.7 KPIP.